Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Welcome to Vox Novus, the new voice. The Moody Blues 1981 album, Long Distance Voyager, featured a song by Justin Hayward entitled The Voice. The lyric said in part, "Make a promise, take a vow, and trust your feelings. It's easy now. Understand the voice within and feel a change already beginning." Is that inner voice something that we may all connect with and hear for guidance and healing? My guest this week on Vox Novus, Diana Cole, says yes. Diana Cole is a spirit translator, thought leader, fitness guru, and emerging author. She is committed to teaching people how to find freedom from pain and limitation and live a life of abundance, fun, and inspiration. She's co-author of Pillars of Success with Jack Canfield. Her website is dianacole.com, and she joins me this week to share her path and her latest book, Spirit Translator, Seven Truths for Creating Well-Being and Connecting with Spirit. Please join me in welcoming to Vox Novus, Diana Cole. Welcome, Diana.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
And thank you so much for joining us this week. Diana, you were blessed with a father who introduced you to the many of the concepts that we will be discussing today. Please share your early life and how it formed your path.
Yeah, you know, I grew up with a father who was a pioneer in the human potential movement. And, you know, here in the San Francisco Bay Area where I live and where we've lived, he was sort of a leader in this New Age movement. And ever since I can remember, he was teaching me how to meditate, how to talk to my spirit guide, how to heal myself, how to feel protected when I needed to feel protected. You know, my earliest memory of, I was trying to go back when I was writing the book and think, like, when was the first time I really remember meditating? And it was 4 years old that I can remember. So growing up with him was really special. He had a lot of friends who were also leaders in the New Age movement, people who have written books that many of us have probably read, people who have created courses and teachings around their methodologies that we have, you know, heard of. And I think that I was just surrounded by so much wisdom and so many people who were really doing their best to better the world and to help people. And it really, you know, it was really an amazing upbringing. I just didn't realize it until, you know, much later when I looked back on my life. I thought it was sort of normal at the time.
I understand that. And you were really blessed to have a dad who encouraged you the way he did. I remember growing up in the 50s, also having my first experiences when I was 4 and 5 years old and being told I had an overactive imagination. So the fact that you were encouraged is so wonderful. What would you say to parents whose children are demonstrating that connection with spirit?
Well, I would say what you just said, which is encourage it. You know, the thing is that when we're children, we're closer almost to what I call the spirit world because we haven't lost our memory as deeply as we have as adults, right? So this thing that we call imagination or active imagination is still sort of melding with the world that's invisible and that we can't see. So it's really important, I think, that when kids are young, we help them realize that it's okay to go into their imagination and to foster it and grow it and to help them get even deeper into it, really, so that they can connect with that guidance that is here for us that we can't see.
Do you have a sense that the generation that's coming up now is going to be more attuned to spirit than past generations?
You know, I think so. My daughter is 18 and I look at her and I look at her friends and I think that what I really notice about them is that they're not close-minded about anything. You know, they're really open to what people are feeling, what people are, how people want to express themselves. And I think that the fact that they are open and that they are sort of open for other people's ideas and opinions makes them maybe, you know, more open to exploring the invisible world a little bit more.
Absolutely. Now, your personal experience with a back injury was actually a blessing in disguise, wasn't it?
It was. I say my pain was my teacher. So, you know, it was really that that started me forward on this path I'm on now. And it was the one thing that happened to me that made me feel like I was completely out of control. There was no way I could control my pain or that I could take back what had happened. I felt like, you know, for the first time in my life, I didn't know what I was going to do. There was no way out, right? So I started researching pain, and that was really what put me on my journey moving forward. It was really important for me to understand the aspects of physical pain so I could apply that same teaching to my emotional pain.
And there also was an emotional component to the pain involving the end of your first marriage and also the loss of your business.
Yeah, you know, what I started realizing is that as I was going through what I call my pain cycles, I started realizing that the physical pain and the emotional pain could all be treated the same way because they were all being felt the same way. So the way that I treated my back injury to cure it is the way that I started trying to cure my emotional pain, and it worked.
And can you describe that briefly?
Yeah, so it really took for me to pinpoint where my pain centers were, right? So in a physical way, I had to pinpoint exactly where my injury was. And as soon as I did that, then I had to protect that area of my back that was injured so that it wouldn't be re-injured and so that it was, you know, being protected from all my movement and everything I was doing. And then I had to basically make sure that anything I did moving forward wasn't going to aggravate it more. So I started applying that to my emotional life and it started working amazing. So when I started feeling emotional pain, I started realizing what I needed to do was go back to the pain center that created that pain I was feeling. Because all of the pains we experience start somewhere else. They start at an earlier time. And then as we get older, these pains start growing and manifesting as different things. So I started realizing that pinpointing my pain centers and then protecting those pain centers and talking through them and making them better in my own emotional state was helping my emotional pain dissolve.
We share the synchronicity that a recurrent back injury in my mid to late 30s actually put me back on my spiritual path. So as you say, within pain, there is gain.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, pain is a teacher, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What inspired you to work in this area, helping people connect with their internal spiritual guidance?
Yeah, I think a few things. The first thing is when I hit, you know, my rock bottom, and I went back to what I learned as a child and it worked and it helped me change my life and it helped me feel better and it helped my life, you know, grow in ways I never thought that it could. I realized that the information that I received and the things that I did weren't just for me. You know, everybody could use this information. So I wanted to put it in, you know, a book form so that other people would have access to this. And then, you know, sort of what compounded that was the passing of my father. And I realized it, you know, I really felt like I wanted to help other people or teach other people what he had taught me because it was just so valuable and so important.
Absolutely. Before Spirit Translator, you co-authored a book with Jack Canfield, The Pillars of Success. Please tell us about that book.
Well, you know, I met Jack Canfield early on in my, you know, before Spirit Translator came out, and he, you know, was just so, he has been so supportive and, you know, very, he's sort of taken on this like father role in my life for some reason. And he's just been so amazing for me. And I went to Santa Barbara and, met with him a few times. I was on his podcast or his Jack Canfield TV show, a few years ago. And then, the book opportunity came up and I was, you know, I became one of the contributors to the book, Pillars of Success. And it's really just stories of people, that people share of how they became successful.
Absolutely. When people hear words like spirit and channel, Many may be thinking that you deliver messages from loved ones who have passed away. How is your work different?
Yeah, you know, I don't consider myself a medium. And I think that, you know, to put a label on it, the people who communicate with people who have passed, that we call mediums, are communicating on a different level than I'm communicating on. What I'm doing is I'm talking to my spirit guide and getting direct information from, you know, the thing that I call spirit, which is what some people would call infinite intelligence or God or, you know, all loving, you know, knowing or heaven or, you know, whatever label, you know, you give this energy that is, you know, all there is, you know, where we go back to, where we came from. I communicate with that energy through my spirit guide.
I had an experience about 5 years ago where I was driving with my family on a local highway here in New York. It was rush hour, but traffic was moving at top speed, 55 miles an hour. And I was in the extreme left-hand lane. And I heard a voice say, "Get out of this lane now." Now, it didn't shout at me. It didn't threaten me. It was advising me. I immediately went to the center lane. And within 5 seconds, there was a multiple car crash in that left lane. Had I not listened to the voice, I would have been in the middle of that accident. Mm-hmm. Can anyone learn to receive that type of spiritual guidance, or is it a gift that only some have?
No, I really strongly believe we all have it. And I think that we're all getting messages all the time. Just some of us listen and some of us don't. And sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't. Just like what you described. You know, I've had times where I felt like, you know, my intuition or, you know, what we call the voice inside us is like screaming at you to do something and you ignore it. I got really good at ignoring that voice. And I think a lot of people do, right? So for me, what I really want to teach and what I do teach to my community is that it's really important to open to the idea that you are being guided so that when you do hear these messages coming through, you do listen. You know, when you listen, your life actually unfolds in a more graceful way. You don't have to go through so much pain when you listen.
What's the difference between listening and truly hearing?
Well, I think that truly hearing would mean actually applying what you hear, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that we would all say, whether we call ourselves somebody who has had an experience like you just described or not, I think all of us would say that we've heard sort of the voice inside us telling us to do something. I think truly listening is when you sort of take a moment and you adopt that information or you use that information like you did, right? You use the information and you move to the middle lane. But I think that there are some people that may have ignored that.
And in a world that we live in, bombarded with noise and information overload, how may we filter that voice and really hear it?
Well, you know, the way that I hear it best is when I'm quiet. So I always ask my clients to adopt a practice of stillness. And it doesn't mean that you have to meditate every day for 30 minutes or an hour. I know that sounds daunting and it sounds, you know, like kind of mysterious. And, you know, we're all busy. We don't all have time to sit in meditation for 30 minutes, I think. So I ask, you know, that we take 3 to 5 minutes just to get quiet. And that means quiet internally and externally, which means quieting all of your thought processes, quieting all of the worry, quieting the to-do list, and just really sitting and receiving just sort of this love and this wisdom that comes through when you can just sit in complete silence and in complete quiet. For me, when you know how to get into that space, then that's the first step to being able to receive this wisdom, I think, in a louder voice, in a louder way.
Why do you refer to yourself as spirit translator?
Because I'm really just translating the information that I get, you know, and that's really what I'm doing. I think that in some people will say that they channel. I think that, you know, for me, what I feel is that I'm really just hearing information from an invisible source and relaying it to you. So that's how I came up with Spirit Translator.
And some of us hear clairaudient, some of us see clairvoyant, some of us feel clairsentient. How can someone identify their best way of contact?
Well, you know, the way that you meet your spirit guide is through meditation. So it's important to know that we all have these abilities to feel what you cannot, you know, see, or to see what you can't see with your eyes, right? Or to smell something that you shouldn't smell, right? Or to hear things that you shouldn't be able to hear. We all have those abilities. We just don't learn them and we don't focus on them. So we feel like we're limited to these five senses, right? But when you get into this space of having the stillness practice and of knowing that you have internal guidance and internal wisdom that is here for you, then you start feeling like you can open a little bit more. And that's when I have clients experience things that feel miraculous, right? Where they will report back to me that they felt, you know, something that another person was feeling, right? In a more deeper level than they had before. Or they feel like they have some sort of, you know, sixth sense about something that's going to happen. And these things are what open to you when you get into this practice of getting still and just, you know, coming back to who you are.
And to identify the way that they are receiving the information, I would sometimes share with people, if you're a person who says, I feel you, well, you're clairsentient. If you're a person who says, I hear you, you're clairaudient. And if you're a person who says, I see what you're saying, or I see you, then you're clairvoyant. Would you agree?
I do. I agree.
Absolutely. How does your work help in different circumstances? For example, you've shared that you had a big three in life that spiritual guidance helped you through, the back injury, the divorce, and having to close your brick and mortar fitness business.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter what the pain is that you experience, you know, here in this life journey. We all go through different degrees of pain and different kinds of pain. What I'm trying to teach is that you have this internal guidance system that is all-knowing and all-loving that will help you get through any dip and valley in your life. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters how it feels, and they all feel bad. So when you feel bad, you need something to help you lift yourself up again. And I think that we've learned to go to outside sources, you know, go talk to somebody, call a friend, call a family member, you know, go on social media or whatever, right? Ask someone else for guidance. And I, you know, the most important thing for me in changing my life was not asking anybody for guidance, but going inside and getting my own guidance that was unique for me and that helped me change my life. And I know it's here for everybody. So what I'm hoping is that a lot more people learn how to access their internal guidance system so they can pull themselves out of these really bad moments.
How does this affect people who have boundary issues?
Well, you know, I don't know, because boundary issues to me are sort of emotional blocks or walls. And they're probably positive in some aspects and negative in other aspects. You know, when you are in this receptive mode of wanting to get this information, you can't have any boundaries or blocks. You have to be completely open and in an inquisitive sort of emotional state. So for me, it's about what I say is tearing down the blocks to communication. And I think that in some people, those boundaries could be emotional blocks.
And what about those who have no boundaries whatsoever and who are bombarded by others?
Well, I think that this is just a little different, because if you have no boundaries in a way that I think what you're saying is that you're sort of like absorbing everybody else's stuff around you, mm-hmm. You're actually somebody who is probably going to have an easier time connecting to the invisible guidance that's here, because you're more open, right? So it's just different because you're communicating with invisible wisdom, not with something you can see in front of you. And having no boundaries in some ways is actually helpful.
So your empathic ability is wonderful for connecting with spirit, and you have to apply certain rules for yourself, the ability to say no or to stay away from those who would drain your energy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do have a theory about that. And, you know, I don't believe that anyone can drain anybody else's energy. I just think that some energy types aren't really meant to merge or to be in each other's space, right? So when you feel like a drain, like your energy is being drained from you, it's because you're really in a space where you shouldn't be merging with that energy that you're with. Doesn't mean anyone is bad for you or good for you. It just means that you have energies that are different.
So what you're saying is don't volunteer.
Right.
Absolutely. My guest is Diana Cole. We're talking about her book, Spirit Translator, 7 Truths for Creating Well-Being and Connecting with Spirit. Diana, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and your work.
Yeah. So the best way to get my book or find out about me is through my website, and it's dianacole.com.
And we'll be back with more of Diana after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going OM? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute? When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week is Diana Cole. We're talking about her book, Spirit Translator, 7 Truths for Creating Well-Being and Connecting with Spirit. Diana, you say no pain equals no pain. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, this is something that I started saying when I owned my fitness businesses. And it's really because I was having people walking into my business and saying, you know, how hard is the class going to be today? Because, you know, no pain equals no gain. And at first, I just kind of laughed it off. But it was sort of happening a lot where people were saying, like, no pain, no gain. Like, they needed it to be hard and painful so that they could, you know, improve their bodies or their strength or whatever their goal was. And I started realizing that the people that were saying this to me were usually the people that were injured and were in pain. And we're always looking for other ways to get out of pain when they left, you know, an exercise studio or whatever they were doing. And I started telling them that no pain equals no pain. And this is something that I discovered when I was trying to cure my own back injury, is that if I stayed out of pain, the pain started dissolving. But as soon as I did something that hurt my back, then the pain would increase, right? Because like attaches to like. So pain increases in painful moments. And that happens whether it's a physical pain or an emotional pain. So I just started saying no pain equals no pain. And that's, you know, how we're going to move forward here. And I fully believe that that life should be challenging, but not painful.
There's an old expression, energy flows where intention goes. Does that apply here? If we pay attention and put our attention on that pain, we're just actually acknowledging it and emphasizing it.
Yeah, you know, I think that if you are somebody who has pain, physical pain, for example, and you are constantly talking about it and thinking about it, and it's overtaking your life, and, you know, believe me, I've had a back injury that was debilitating, and I know what that's like to be in that place where you can't really think of anything else. And it is sort of all you talk about with people, and it is sort of all you think about, right? But when you can break that, and you can start talking about other things and start appreciating the things that do feel good and start appreciating the things that you enjoy doing that has nothing to do with that pain, the pain starts decreasing a little bit.
So it's intention and attention to gratitude.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think that the best way to feel better is to start noticing what you're grateful for, or to start noticing what you like about your life or about yourself. So, you know, in those moments of pain, whether it's physical or emotional, the best way to sort of hyperspace yourself out of it for a moment is to start focusing for as many moments as possible on the things that you are grateful for or the things that you enjoy.
Absolutely. You also share that we must also practice cultivating thoughts that reflect the life we want. Practice a change in thoughts and watch a change materialize around you, you say. Please share some examples.
Yeah, so I had always felt like I had this life that was sort of running parallel with mine and sort of above me a little bit that I could sort of look up and look at. And it was the life I should have had. But for some reason, I had made wrong decisions or things didn't go my way, right? And I was living this life that I wasn't meant to live. And I was always trying to figure out, how was I going to live that fabulous life in my mind? Why was I living this one that wasn't great? And when I started realizing that it was actually my life is as soon as I wanted it, I started believing that that life I wanted was the life I had. I just became the person living in the life that I wanted, and my life changed. So what that meant for me was, you know, instead of looking at my life and thinking like, you know, oh, how terrible, you know, that I have a business that I don't enjoy. Oh, how terrible that I'm a single mom and, you know, I can't pay my bills, right? I started telling myself different stories about my life that were true, but not the stories that were negative. I started telling myself how lucky I was that I was able to live in this beautiful space with my daughter, and that I got to see my daughter every day. You know, how lucky I am that I was able to open a business and become an entrepreneur and experience entrepreneurship. I just started talking to myself differently about my life, and my life started changing as I did.
So as you were making these statements, as you were thinking this way, you fulfilled the positive lifestyle you were looking for and the things you wanted.
Yeah, I gradually felt myself leap up to the life that I actually wanted to live, because the life in my head that I wanted was, you know, I had all of these, you know, I didn't have problems in that life. And I had, you know, I was able to go on vacation in that life. And I didn't have to, you know, have a business in that life that I didn't like. And, you know, all kinds of things, right, that we think, what if I had made a different decision? What would my life look like? It would probably be better, right? And I just started deciding that that better life was my life, and that I was going to make the leap up to it, is what I say. I made the leap up to the life I wanted by believing that that was the life I was in. And it became it.
A lot of our listeners may be out of relationship right now for one reason or another, and may be saying, when will I find that right partner, that perfect partner? What would you say to them?
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of people have that question, and it's a tough one, because when we are sort of desperately wanting something and holding on to it really tightly, we're keeping it away from us. So it's tough to say, you know, don't want that anymore. And that's not what I would say. What I would say is, you know, have the desire to share, you know, your life with another person, know that it's coming towards you, and let it go and move on to the next thing. Because as we hold on to it and we hope, we activate the energy of hope, which holds us from the energy of I realize, right? So it's really important to know it's possible and it's there, know it's coming toward us, and move forward without the energy of hope or doubt.
Many folks pray or have some form of asking for change, but we really need to put our intention behind this, don't we? How may we meld our beliefs with our reality?
Yeah, you know, I learned as a child that prayer was a one-way conversation, and that what needs to happen is a two-way conversation, meaning ask and receive, right? So I think it's important to know what you want answers to and learn how to go inside and hear those answers for yourself. The action of prayer is a lot of times the action of hoping for something. And I would like to change that conversation for people as much as possible so that the prayer doesn't become this sort of, I doubt this will happen, but I hope it will sort of exercise, but instead to say, I am grateful for XYZ. I know I will get XYZ because I am entitled to it. Being a human being, I'm entitled to love. I am entitled to happiness. It's here for me. And having that attitude in prayer and just feeling more thankful and open and asking for guidance, I think is a much more effective way of approaching prayer.
There's a wonderful old story about a gentleman who goes to his specific house of worship every Sunday. And after everyone has left, he goes to the altar and he gets down on his hands and knees and he has a conversation with his Creator. And he says, I need a favor. I've never asked for anything for myself. My wife needs surgery. We have no money and no insurance. Please let me win the lottery. A week goes by and nothing happens. The following week, same story. He gets down. I don't understand. I've been a good person, a loving person. My wife needs this operation. Please let me win the lottery. Another week goes by and nothing happens. On the third week, he's in tears. He's really showing emotion. He says, I don't understand. I don't understand. What did I do wrong? What would you have me do? And he hears a voice that says, buy the ticket. It really comes down to a two-way street. We have to participate. We can project and have that vision of what we choose, but we also have to be an active participant.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I really believe that improving your life is a job. You know, it takes work. It takes work to change the way you look at your world and the way you talk about it to yourself and others. It takes work to start improving the way that you are, you know, looking at the events that are happening in your life or the way that they happened in the past. And it's important for us to start telling ourselves and talking to ourselves in a way that's kind and that is, you know, is different than the conversations that we're having that are holding us in the life that we don't want. So a lot of the times I think that we get into these moments of difficulty or despair or worse. And we just sort of throw our hands up and say, you know, help, you know, God help me, or, you know, whatever your God is, just help me. I need you. Help me, right? But the help is there for us. We just need to get to that point of quiet and calm so we can hear the answers. We can hear the guidance. It's not just about having this miraculous source sort of, you know, in the background, you know, changing things for you. It's up to each person to change it for themselves.
And it's also up to partnership and recognizing when the things that we're asking for are manifest for us. Another old story about this gentleman who's on a boat in the middle of the ocean. His main boat sank and he's on a lifeboat, and a helicopter flies by and they say, we'll drop you a ladder. Grab the ladder. We'll bring you up to the helicopter. He says, no. He says, I have faith in my Creator. My Creator will save me. And the helicopter takes off. And then a boat comes by and they throw him a life preserver. Says, here, grab the life preserver. Come on our boat. We'll rescue you. He says, no, I have faith in my Creator, and my Creator will save me and take care of me. And then another airplane comes by, a small plane, and drops down a line. He says, no. He says, thank you. My Creator will save me. I have faith in my Creator. And then he drowns. And he comes face to face with his Creator and says, I don't understand. I thought you would save me. What happened? And his Creator said, I don't know. I sent that helicopter. I sent that boat. I sent that plane. So in other words, these things are being presented to us really every day if we have the quieting of mind and the attachment to listen.
Exactly. You know, I think that one of the problems or one of the barriers to really hearing the guidance or recognizing it is that we live in a really busy world. You know, there's a lot we have to do. There's a lot we're trying to accomplish. There's a lot going on around us. We have family and friends. We are in the middle of a pandemic. You know, we have social media that, you know, to look at. We have tons of wonderful shows on TV. You know, there's just so much happening, and it's really hard to get to that place where you can just quiet it all. But when you can, you start merging with that energy of guidance and of wisdom that is here for us, so that when you do have, you know, the life preserver being thrown at you, you can recognize it for what it is. It is the life preserver that is there for you.
In our noisy world, do you suggest that folks take a little break sometimes from social media and the news and so on?
Yeah, I think it's really important to unplug from all external noise for 3 to 5 minutes every morning and every night at a minimum. You know, right when you wake up in the morning and right before you go to bed at a minimum. Because, you know, we wake up and right away, it's like the alarm goes off, right? And you're like, oh my God, okay, the alarm, I got to get up. What do I have to do? And you start automatically going through the to-do list, right? So I think that it's really important to take a few moments, not to get up right away, but just to sort of sit and be, and to think about how lucky you are to be able to experience another day, how lucky you are to open your eyes to this beautiful world outside your window, you know, how exciting it's going to be able to experience what's going to unfold in front of you, or how amazing it is that you get to interact with other people, with other feelings and other emotions going on. Like, this is really a miraculous thing that we have here, right? And I think that if you can take a few moments without any noise, without any worry, without any to-do list, and just sort of appreciate and be and breathe in the sunlight coming through your window, you start feeling better. And starting your day in a way that feels good helps you have a better day.
And seeing everything truly is a miracle, because it really is.
Mm-hmm. I know. You know, it's funny because people will say to me, like, oh, I don't believe in miracles. And the fact is, you know, it's a miracle that I'm looking out my window and I can just see so many trees that are always green, right? It's a miracle that I can see a butterfly that has so many colors in its wings. You can't even imagine how that happened, right? It's a miracle that we are here, living and breathing people who came here sort of mysteriously and vanished somewhat mysteriously, right? It's a miracle. All of it is. And when we start looking at our lives as, you know, sort of extensions of miracle, then we start expecting that things can happen that don't seem, you know, realistic. And those things that happen that don't seem realistic are oftentimes the things that make us feel really excited.
Absolutely. The wisdom of Diana Cole. Her book is called Spirit Translator, 7 Truths for Creating Well-Being and Connecting with Spirit. We'll be back with more of Diana after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Right now, our country feels divided, but there's a place where people are coming together.
I gotta tell you, I was nervous to talk to someone so different than me.
Me too, but I'm glad we are.
Love Has No Labels and One Small Step are helping people with different political views, beliefs, and life experiences come together through conversation, and it feels good.
Wow, your story is so...
Interesting?
Yeah.
When people actually sit down, talk, and listen to one another, they can break down boundaries and connect as human beings. At lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep, you can listen to amazing, life-changing conversations and find simple tools to start a conversation of your own.
I know one thing. This conversation gives me hope.
It gives me a lot of hope, too.
Take a step toward bringing our country and your community together by having the courage to start a conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that we can give our daughters everything they need to grow and learn, but not every child can focus on classes and play dates.
Nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. face hunger. That's 1 in 6. School lunch might be their only meal each day, and it's heartbreaking to imagine any child going to bed hungry. We're dreaming of a perfect day when kids can smile, play, and just be kids without worrying about where their next meal will come from. Feeding America is working to make that perfect day a reality.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. That food is given to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about doing things that make an ordinary day extraordinary. Learning to play an instrument, building a sandcastle, hosting tea parties. Hunger should never be an obstacle to growing up.
You can help end childhood hunger in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week, Diana Cole. Her book is called Spirit Translator, 7 Truths for Creating Well-Being and Connecting with Spirit. Diana, in your book, you have a chapter entitled The Earth is Your Guru. What may it teach us?
Yeah, the Earth is here, I think, to teach us that it is possible to bloom and to prosper no matter what is happening. So no matter what is happening around you, no matter what you're feeling, no matter how bad things look, right, you can still bloom and you can still feel good. And I think that when you look outside and you see that, you know, flowers are blooming and the trees are green, no matter what the weather is, no matter what's happening, the earth is regenerating. The earth is, you know, vibrant. And it's important, I think, for us to look at that as an example of how to live. So it doesn't matter what events we see on our path. It doesn't matter how we look at our lives. We can still be vibrant and we can still bloom and grow and prosper.
I have a wonderful friend from the United Kingdom, and over there, in Great Britain in particular, they've developed a practice called earthing, which is to, in every way possible, connect to the earth, to ground to the earth, including they have earthing blankets and the practice of going outside when possible and safe barefoot and digging your feet into the earth. How important is grounding and earthing?
Well, I think that it's important to, I think it is important, but I think that it's also important to recognize that because we are sort of tethered to the earth, it's also important for us to look above and also feel like we can elevate and we can, you know, ground, if you will, with the sky and with sort of this infinite openness, right? So I think that there has been a lot of focus on grounding and holding yourself down and, you know, feeling like you have roots growing into the earth. And I think that's very, very important. But I think that there's one step further that we need to take. And I think that that step is opening to what's above us so that we can elevate in our vibration and our energy.
And to see ourselves in balance between heaven and earth.
Exactly. Because we are as vast as anything that we can see energetically. And when we allow ourselves to sort of be in this vastness, and when we can sort of imagine our energy bubble, if you will, being as vast as anything you can see, we feel like we're a little more elevated, like we can stand a little bit taller. It's like we're being pulled up from above us, not being pulled down all the time to the earth.
Absolutely. Who do you believe would benefit the most from the work that you do?
Well, I think that anybody can benefit from it, but I guess if I have to say who would benefit from it the most, it would be somebody who is feeling stuck in their lives or is feeling pain in any way. And that really means emotional pain. If you've gone through a trauma or a depression, if you're feeling depressed or lonely, if you've lost a loved one and you're in despair, then you're looking for something probably to make you feel better. And if you are looking for something to make you feel better and nothing is working, then it's time to use this practice of going inside and getting this question, getting your questions answered and feeling elevated with the wisdom and the love and the protection that comes through to you.
In Spirit Translator, you offer 14 steps to heal your life now. Would you share a few of these?
Yeah. So what this is really an exercise for how to feel better right away. Because, you know, what happens is we all need to heal our thought processes or our past traumas, sort of, you know, anything that we've gone through that has been painful. And the way that I learned to do it was to create this, you know, sort of energy ball. And to push this healing energy ball, you know, into my body as I said things that felt good or I chanted something that felt healing. So in my book, I ask you to go through sort of this chant that is, I am absolute goodness. Beauty is all around me. Everything is working in my favor. I am happy. And when you sort of repeat these things as you use this energy ball to heal your body, you start feeling like you're healing yourself, and it feels really good and really elevating.
There are a lot of people, owing to the pandemic and also many of the other things that have transpired in a negative way in our country and around the world since the onset of the pandemic, who are grieving right now and really heavily grieving. What would you suggest to people who are in that state of grief?
Well, I think that first I would say we're all in this together. You know, you're not alone, and to, you know, some to less degree and some to more degree, maybe we're all in this together and we're all feeling all of this together. And I think that it's really hard to pull yourself out of grief. I know that grief is one of those things that can hit you like a truck and you don't know where to go or how to get out of it. I think that we're here on purpose. I think that this place where we are planetarily is something that is here to sort of help us elevate our energy collectively. Like we were talking about earlier this morning, you know, when you hit your pain cycles, your pain is your teacher. And I think collectively we are learning that we're all being pushed into pain, and we're all trying to get out of it. And hopefully collectively we will learn better ways for pulling ourselves out of these painful moments so that our lives collectively look better moving forward. Now, the only way that I can say has worked for me to get out of pain and despair is to feel connected to everything around me, to feel connected with the earth, to feel connected with the other energies, the other people, to feel connected and not alone. And, you know, I think that it's feeling alone that takes me to my deepest low. And I think that feeling alone takes a lot of people to a very deep low. So when you can feel like you're protected and you're loved and you're not alone, and you can get that information in a way that feels real and not just like I'm saying it, you can pull yourself out of those really awful moments.
You say that kindness is our God power. How so?
Yeah, so kindness, I believe, is sort of this divine gift that we were given to change the world. And, you know, if you could imagine for a moment that the entire planet, everybody on it, felt kindness toward everyone in their lives and themselves for 10 minutes. Just think about that. Every single person felt kindness toward themselves and others for 10 minutes. That 10-minute segment would change the earth. It would change the way we all live. Because when you can live in this place of kindness, of feeling, you know, this love for yourself and for other people, you start to grow, and that love will grow and replicate, and it's contagious. I think it's really important that we learn how to be more kind to other people and more kind to ourselves. It's not something that we're taught, I don't think, when we're younger. We're taught to fend for ourselves, or look out for yourself, or no one's going to take care of you. You got to take care of yourself. Or, you know, if somebody else gets something, then there's not enough for you, right? And I think that if we can change that conversation, and we can teach our children and learn ourselves to be kind toward one another and kind to ourselves, then all of a sudden, I think a lot of us are going to feel a lot better.
We've had discussions on these shows that I do about radical acts of kindness and compassion, going out of your way to be helpful and loving and compassionate to someone who truly needs it. And something as simple as holding the door. I was taught as a child, when you leave a building, you hold the door and allow anyone who's coming behind you to walk out. Just a simple act like that. Or helping someone cross the street if they feel uncomfortable. Or reaching for something on a shelf that they can't reach. Silly, everyday little things that mean so, so much.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. And also, you know, holding the door open for somebody, that might be the only kind thing that person experiences all day. So it's important to extend kindnesses to others. Now, for me, speaking from a woman's perspective, you know, we are taught as women when we're very young, you know, don't talk to strangers, or, you know, look around you. Like, we sort of have this like fear thing that we're given as children that, you know, the world is a little scary out there, right? And you got to watch out for yourself. And, you know, I think that that fear for a lot of people may block sort of this energy of kindness. And I don't mean that you should go out and talk to strangers or that you shouldn't be aware of your world, but I think that you don't even have to hold the door open for somebody. If you can just look at another person and feel kindness toward them, then you're already doing the work.
The energetic kindness, the transfer of kindness in an energetic and quiet and simple way.
Exactly. Just to look at other people and think, you know, send them love. Think kind thoughts about them. Don't judge them. Don't say things to yourself about them. Say things to yourself about them that are kind, right? Look at how beautiful that woman is on the street. Look at how amazing that, you know, that child is playing, you know, on the street. Look at how, and just sort of noticing like this, these nice things about other people, and not noticing the things that aren't nice.
Absolutely. And of course, self-kindness, self-love, and self-compassion.
Yeah, you know, I say self-talk is your prayer. And I really believe that the conversations that you have with yourself are your ask. So every conversation that you have with yourself is energetically pulling something towards you. And it can be something positive or negative, it can be something you want or something you don't want, depending on the conversations you're having in your own mind. So strengthening those conversations that you have with yourself strengthens you. Meaning, how many times have you looked in the mirror and thought, I'm beautiful, right? How many times have you thought about yourself and thought, I did a really good job today. I'm really happy with how I handled that. I look really good right now. I feel really good right now. You know, we don't have these conversations with ourselves, I don't think, very often. And these are the conversations that can change the way we perceive our world. Because really what makes us happy is perceiving that our world is good. So when you can believe your world is good because you're seeing all of the good things in it, you automatically elevate your happiness level.
The wisdom of Diana Cole, her book, Spirit Translator, 7 Truths for Creating Well-Being and Connecting with Spirit. Diana, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you.
They can find out all about me on my website at dianacole.com.
Diana, thank you so much for joining us this week and sharing your gifts and your wisdom.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us on Vox Novus. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.